It's time for this week's Nebraska Wheat Report, brought to you by the Nebraska Wheat Board. I'm Alex Makavica. We're joined on the phone today by Mark Spurgeon of Paxton, Nebraska. He serves on the board of directors for the Nebraska Wheat Board. Mark, earlier this month, you were at the U.S. Wheat's summer business meeting. Share with us some of the highlights from this year's meetings.
The U.S. Wheat summer board meeting was held in Oklahoma City the 9th, 10th, and 11th of July. And on the 11th was a travel and a welcome reception, where we had the best prime rib sandwiches, which must have been Nebraska beef. There are 17 member states that are members of the U.S. wheat, and these are most of them the wheat producing states. And the reason there's such a wide variety of states is because there are six classes of wheat: hard red winter, hard spring, hard soft white, hard red soft white, and Durham. These classes have a variety of uses, from bread to rolls to crackers to cookies and pastries and noodles. And that's the reason why when this U.S. wheat gets together, it's really an interesting meeting because of the wide array of people that you get to talk to and the classes of wheat that they produce. On the 10th, we had committee meetings, and the different committees are budget and long-range planning, transportation, working group, food aid, communications, and wheat quality. And I attended several of the meetings. In the budget and long-range planning meetings, we looked at the funding sources and where we're going to get the most money for the bang for our bucks. Currently, U.S. wheat receives $2.40 from the USDA for every dollar contributed by the producers. So it's not a bad return. It's about a 2.5 times return. For the fiscal year 2025, the budget is over $6.5 million. Some of the funding highlights include the AFT program, which is ending, and there is a need for that program, so they have a new program titled RAP, R-A-P-P. The ATP program was the Agriculture Trade Program, and now the new RAP program stands for the Regional Agriculture Promotion Program. This program is kind of interesting because it's not going to target all the foreign countries like the ATP program. That RAP program provides targeted technical assistance for exporters to break into new markets and increase market share in growth markets. It really helps us protect the crucial wheat export sales in established markets and build a base for growth in the new markets. So it's got a different approach than the ATP program. Right now, the RAP program cannot be used in China, the European Union, Cuba, and Mexico. They're really targeting the African countries. Right now, the total RAP funding available is $300 million. And that's for 66 different U.S. agriculture organizations, in which U.S. wheat is going to receive $13 million. And so that's going to be just a little bit more than we were getting from the ATP program. So that's good for us. And other funding sources that we were looking at is the MAP program, which is the Market Access Program, and the FMD, which is a Foreign Market Development Program. And those are in addition to the RAP program. And I also attended a little bit of the Transportation Committee, and that's where we were briefed by Burlington Northern Santa Fe. And they're seeing that there's been less demand for wheat, so that means there's going to be less trains. And in the Food Aid Working Group, we discussed the wheat shipments, how it is used, and is it going to the right places. The United States gives more for food aid than all the rest of the world combined. Also, the United States is the biggest contributor for the United Nations World Food Program. So we play an integral part in the food aid. And one thing about the food aid, they're debating, or these countries that we're giving this food to, or this wheat to, whether it's going to be whole grain or milled. They like to have milled wheat because that just lessens their cost to get it milled. Then also I went into the Wheat Quality Committee, And the purpose of the Wheat Quality Committee is it seeks to provide guidance to the U.S. Wheat Board of Directors on wheat quality-related issues. The purpose of the Wheat Quality Committee is to provide timely and concurrent information that will help position U.S. wheat to make the maximum impact on export quality competitiveness versus the price. What they want to do is enhance the value of the U.S. wheat, because the wheat produced in the United States has a superior quality than most of the wheat on the market right today. Our export price is generally higher than most countries, but our quality is superior. Our wheat is clean and dry, and that makes the difference in the overall prices of the wheat. Because if the wheat is 1% point drier in moisture, that saves a lot of money when buying. And these foreign countries are having a hard time trying to figure out, or we're having a hard time convincing them how this quality plays such an important role in their buying of this, of our wheat. That kind of ended that day. Then on the 11th was the Board of Directors meeting, which is a recap of all the committee meetings. The highlight of the committee meetings was really the change of leadership from Michael Peters from Oklahoma to Clark Hamilton of Idaho. And the summer meetings are generally always held in the state of the outgoing chairman, so that's the reason he's down at Oklahoma City. So next year, we're going to be going to Idaho, because that's where Clark Hamilton is. So that'll be an interesting trip.
So, Mark, you touched on everything from transportation to food quality. As you bring all of this information home to your wheat operation and to wheat operations across the state, what do you find the most important to portray to those producers to keep them profitable and to keep them producing good wheat?
I think really it's just on the wheat quality. The United States has always had quality wheat, and Nebraska produces quality wheat. And at the elevator, you know, when we go there, they look at it and they determine what the quality is. And the higher the quality, hopefully we'll get paid more. And that's what we're trying to convince these foreign countries, that this quality adds value. But like most foreign buyers, they always buy it for the cheapest price. They really don't care about quality. So hopefully by producing good quality, that someday we're going to be able to benefit from it.
Excellent. Mark, while we're on the topic of this U.S. wheat summer meeting, anything else important to mention that we haven't touched on?
Well, really the main thing that I enjoy going to this U.S. wheat summer and winter meetings is just the camaraderie that you have with other wheat producers in other states and in the different types of the different classes of wheat that's being produced. It's really interesting to talk to the people in Ohio and Indiana that they produce this soft red wheat. It's used as a different end product than our hard red winter wheat. And they also can get by with double cropping. They'll plant wheat and harvest it, and then they go in with soybeans and harvest that. So it's just interesting to see what other people in the country are doing as far as raising wheat.
All right. Well, if you don't mind, we'll pivot here as we round out today's conversation. I imagine wheat harvest wrapped up on your operation in and around Paxton. How did it go this year?
Wheat this year was good quality, and the yields were average to above average. We had rains, timely rains, which helped, and we had a cooler June than normal. So between the timely rains and a cooler normal June, the wheat did real well. The protein content was up a little bit, which was kind of surprising, but sometimes when wheat just surprises a guy.
Very well said, and that's how we'll round out today's conversation. Mark Spurgeon joins us. He serves on the Board of Directors for the Nebraska Wheat Board. He farms near Paxton, and that'll do it for this week's Nebraska Wheat Report, brought to you by the Nebraska Wheat Board. I'm Alex Makavica. You're listening to the Rural Radio Network.